Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And so we ask a man who knows a lot about baseball and is one of my favorite people to talk to. He is Jay Jaffe of Fangraphs. He's also the author of the Cooperstown Casebook, which you can find in booksellers all across the country. And, of course, follow him on Twitter, at Jay Jaffe. Jay, how you been, man?
Hey, I'm good. How you doing?
I'm very well. All right, so let's dig into this series first. Yankees, Indians, through two games, one of them being the gargantuan blowout by the Indians, and then yesterday being a little bit closer of a game. What do you think so far?
Well, you know, I haven't seen a ton of it, actually. I had tickets for Thursday night, and I actually got waylaid by my mother-in-law's anniversary and totally forgot I had tickets.
Oh, see, that's a nice reason. That's a good reason.
So I guess I missed I missed the blowout. I guess I'm not sorry for that, but I did see Mike Ford pitching a little bit on TV later on. That was quite an adventure. But you know, the Indians, look, they're a stronger team since the deadline. In particular, the addition of Yasiel Puig, the addition of Franmil Reyes, the return of the Jose Ramirez, who was one of the best players in the league. You know, those have really made this a much more formidable offense for sure.
So let's dig into what you just brought up there. What at least to you, with Jose Ramirez, what has stood out to you most of the change that has taken place?
Well, I think he's stopped trying to beat the shift. I think he's just returned to you know, more of a comfort zone and doing the things that made him you know, one of the best ball players in the league. I think that's really just, you know, is the simplest explanation. He was trying to do too much, I think that in particular the shift was really a problem for him, and also hitting from behind in the count too much, and he's been more selective, and you know, I'm looking at the numbers for this because I don't get to watch him as often as Indians fans do, but you know, my colleagues at Fangraphs have been very focused on him because he's been sort of a mystery for everyone to try to figure out.
And he has, because the funny thing is you get these two groups of like warring sides. One of them is the angry fantasy baseball community, who's like, I took this guy in the first round and this is what I get. And the other half is angry Indians fans going like, this guy was going to be a stud for us and a top five MVP candidate, and now I have this. And so it's really funny to watch the two of them kind of war against each other, and now it's starting to come together, and it's looking like exactly what you said. It's like, hey, it turns out we left out one way to beat the shift. That's not go the other way, and it's just go above it.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what most people who've been trying to beat the shift have done. I mean, we saw Bryce Harper go through something similar last year, that's one of the reasons why the shift is effective, is because it gets in people's heads. Sometimes it gets too much in the pitcher's head, you know, in terms of the way they have to execute, but it really does mess with the hitter, and not just in ways when the ball is in play. It's also, you know, from pitch to pitch in the middle of the count, it can change the way a batter looks for a pitch and you know, and what they feel like they want to drive.
It has, and it's messed with different hitters all on the way, and it's messed with some of the pitchers as well, who continue to whine about it, though I'll never understand that one for the life of me. But here's the other one. So that happened, and then they also, you brought up Yasiel Puig and bringing him in and the influence that he has had. And I feel like last night was the first night people really experienced the full Puig, you know, where it's, he made an amazing out from right field. Then he botched a ball that was hit right to him from Gio Urshela, and then he hit a home run after that, and then he missed the cutoff man. You know, it's the full Puig. Is that about what fans should expect?
Did he get thrown out at third base?
No, he did not do that, sadly.
Okay, well, you know, then you haven't quite gotten the full Puig experience. Yeah, I mean, look, I watched hundreds of his games while he was with the Dodgers. He is a very entertaining player, but one who is, you know, still – perhaps forever, you know, not exactly a fully finished product. He provides brilliant highs and some occasional maddening lows, and the talent is undeniable. But sometimes he's plays a little bit out of control, plays a little bit out of his mind, and makes some easy mistakes. And in the balance, I think he's a helpful player. I mean, certainly his numbers bear out the fact that he has been a very productive hitter since coming home or since coming over to Cleveland, about as productive as his first 2 years in the majors when he was just about the most exciting thing this side of Mike Trout. But, he's got lapses, and they happen at the plate, they happen on the bases, they happen in the field, and you just have to grit your teeth and hope that he does something to overcome that, and often he does.
All right, so Jay, you are the general manager of the Cleveland Indians, and some way, somehow, through, I'm going to only assume, because it is the Cleveland Indians, a distant relative who has passed away and left millions of dollars.
Hmm.
Would you sign Yasiel Puig to a long-term contract?
That's a hard thing. I'm not sure if I do it for the Indians. I'm not sure I'd do. I think there's some teams he fits better than others. I mean, I think you look at the. You look at the modest production that the Indians have gotten, and I would say modest is probably a euphemism for some less flattering terms here. You'd have to think about it. I mean, they're going to need some at least a better baseline of production than they went into this year with, in terms of corner outfield production, and Puig, I think, is certainly capable of that, but. Committing $100 million to him or $80 million to him or whatever it's going to take, say, over the next 4 years, I'd have to think about that.
He is Jay Jaffe of Fangraphs. You can follow him on Twitter at Jay Jaffe. And, of course, pick up the Cooperstown Casebook. It's a must-own if you're a Hall of Fame nerd, especially like myself. It's as good as it gets, Jay. So let's talk about this as well. So, like, the young pitching staff has been able to really step up and help out this ball club so well. Did you see Shane Bieber coming, or is this a bit of a revelation?
It's been a bit of a revelation for me. I mean, he was pretty good last year in what I saw. I mean, I think certainly some promise there. Anytime a guy's striking out more than a batter per inning as a rookie, even in this era of inflated strikeout rates and has a 5-to-1 strikeout to walk ratio, you're like, okay, there are the building blocks of a successful pitcher. And, that has turned out to be the case, and the Indians have done very well in developing young pitchers, and I think that's what helped them part with Trevor Bauer, because Bieber has stepped up, and Zach Plesac has stepped up, and Mike Clevenger has stepped up, and they've helped them get through this tough time without Corey Kluber and Carlos Carrasco.
Are you a Zach Plesac believer, Jay, or are you kind of where I am, where you're mildly skeptical?
Well, the peripherals don't suggest that that he's this good, but I think it's you can only worry so much about it so long as you're throwing him out there, you take the good with it. I mean, if they've got six starters, is Plesac still one of your five? I think that's a different question. But let's see. What happens when you do have six starters, because right now you don't have that luxury. So I think he's been great for them, even if the peripherals don't match the ERA and you're just hoping he can hold off a little bit here. I think it's the high fly ball rate, the low ground ball rate, it is something of a concern in the long run, but he's getting the job done right now, and it's tough to complain about that. And I think there's still, again, you look at the Indians' track record with young pitching lately, and you have to at least like his odds of getting better than some of what we've seen.
It's very true. Are you a little – Brad Hand is scaring me. And some of it is the fact that, at least from what it looks like, the velocity is down a tiny bit. Is this just a hiccup along the way, or is this a pattern of something to come?
I don't know. I mean, I've certainly seen him let teams back into games in the few times I've seen him lately, and it is a bit of a concern. You've got a high baseline there in Cleveland, living up to the yeah. the legend of Andrew Miller, and he's not as good as Andrew Miller, but his numbers generally pretty good. I mean, high strikeout rate, lowish earned run average, lowish fielding independent pitching. I think the talent is still there. you know, part of it is got to be workload related, and you can only go to the well so often. You need some bullpen depth, and when you don't have it, you're going to expose those guys.
It's a good point. All right, so let's swing around the league a little bit here. So Minnesota right now is in the easy part of their schedule. They're basically have the Indians June, to put it nicely. I mean, it's you know, a lot of the Royals, a lot of the Tigers, a lot of that kind of stuff. Do you see the Twins taking this division, or do you see the Indians possibly being able to win the Central?
I think the door is certainly open for the Indians, even though they're now, you know, a game and a half back after making up all that ground. They do have the harder schedule the rest of the way, and not by an insignificant amount. But they are a much stronger team than they were at the beginning of the season, and you hope if they get Kluber and Carrasco back in some kind of working order, even for September, it's going to be another boost. I mean, the Twins, they took a shot at addressing their bullpen situation at the deadline, but they did not get the starting pitcher they needed, and their starting pitching has kind of been crumbling outside of Barrios lately, and they look like they could have used more support in the lineup as well, and I think the Indians have addressed far more needs, and they're in better shape going into the final quarter of the season here.
Houston, the best team in the American League, or is it the Yanks?
It's Houston. The separation between those two teams right now. The Yankees have the slightly better record, but you look at the rotations in particular, and you look at that, and I think that's going to be the real separator for those two teams. I have to like Houston's chances the rest of the way.
It's amazing how they were able to do it. I mean, at the last ditch, they grabbed Zach Greinke. They had Aaron Sanchez, who's a guy that I've always liked and thought that the Toronto Blue Jays have never figured out how to use right. And they've just been able to pull it together with this great lineup on top of it without giving up Kyle Tucker. And I still can't figure that out for the life of me with Houston.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they had a surplus of young outfielders there. And Derek Fisher, I think his star had fallen relative to Tucker. And I'm surprised they haven't worked Tucker in there more. But, the Astros have done very well at solving the mysteries of a lot of pitchers and improving their performances. I'm not surprised they've gotten better results out of Sanchez, although not so much in his most recent start.
All right, here's your two hardest questions of the day. You ready?
Okay.
Who wins the NL Central?
I still think it's the Cubs. I think just inherently there's just more talent there than the rest of the division. But boy, they seem to be doing a good job of blowing it lately.
It's the who wants it least division in baseball. Like it really feels like who wants it least. And
yeah, I look at what the Cardinals and Brewers didn't do and haven't been able to do, in terms of staying healthy, keeping a working rotation in order, and I still think that the Cubs are going to prevail.
All right, Bellinger or Yelich for MVP?
Bellinger.
Okay.
I mean, what he's done with the versatility, especially, I think has been key. And not to take anything away from Yelich, it's a coin toss, and really, it's going to come down to who's more productive over the last 6 weeks. But if I had to vote today, I'd vote Bellinger.
He's been so good in the field, Jay. He's been so good, and that's the part everybody forgets about with Bellinger. He's just so versatile.
Exactly. I mean, there's just that fielding is he's just been key in that Dodger defense. They make a lot of errors, but they also get to the highest rate of balls in play into outs.
He is Jay Jaffe of Fangraphs. You can follow him at Jay Jaffe on Twitter. Of course, pick up the Cooperstown casebook as well. Jay, thank you for the time, man. This was awesome.
All right, sure thing.
I appreciate it, man. He was Jay Jaffe on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.